here alone. Our next speaker is Vonna Henry. Vonna has been the public health director for 24 years of Sherburne County Health Department in Minnesota, and she has served as a coach for the Survive and Thrive program, and I would add she is also a strong leader of the Health Administration section that has sponsored this session.
Good afternoon. I want to start a little bit. I don't usually talk about my backgrounds, but I chose this one really intentionally on this for this presentation, because if you look at it, they're passing a baton. And I'm seeing some gray hair out there. I have plenty hiding in my blonde hair. And one of the things that really excited me about Survive and Thrive was passing the baton from those of us that have been seasoned to the younger. And so before I start, I gave Kasuma a very short bio. Ramon did cover what we needed to be coaches, and so I do need to give you a little bit to make sure that you understand I really did meet those. I was an HO board member for many years, term limited this year. I was APHA's Health Administration Chair a number of years ago. I also have been on the Governing Council, and I was term limited this year. And I also attended the National Public Health Leadership Institute. So a little bit more about me, but what I'm going to be doing this afternoon, and I have no relationships that I wish to disclose about this at least. I always find that statement kind of funny. So. Is talk today about been there, done that, the use of experienced local public health officials as coaches for the Survive and Thrive program. I'm also going to be covering some of what the fellows did. When we put this program together, it wasn't that we were ignoring the fellows, but we weren't sure any of them would be able to attend. And if you know anything about APHA's process, this starts way back in February. So I will be covering today both the coach and the fellows. And I want to acknowledge one of my other coaches out there in the audience. So he's going to keep me honest. Chuck Konisberg is out there. So, I'm missing a slide. Oh, well. This afternoon, I will describe the process that we used for coaching. I'll discuss three strategies that we used as seasoned local health officials, and then I will identify some of the lessons that I learned in this process, and there were some, as with anything, you learn as you go along. The Survive and Thrive program did have 30 new local health officials and 7 coaches. We also had one additional coach who was a fill-in for those of us if we needed assistance with something or if we couldn't do something with, and I know he was used out in one area specifically with one of the new local officials just because he had the expertise that matched the issue that was occurring there. The local health officials, or fellows as we called them, represented 25 states and the District of Columbia. To give you an idea, the populations of the jurisdictions range from 10,000 to 3.2 million. One of the fellows was actually from San Diego, where they had H1N1 as she was going through this. So it was pretty interesting. They had a variety of governing structures from city, single county, regional, human services, to independent health boards. So we had the whole gamut of what occurs in public health. The team I coached was 4 women who had smaller health departments. All of them had significant rural areas. These fellows were from Minnesota, Iowa, Arizona, and Montana. And the organizational structures were all different. But the one thing they all had in common was they were women and they'd all been in their position less than 2 years. Beyond that, it was pretty interesting. But they all bonded together and it was really fun to be coaching them. So, I I'm going to back up. How come mine is not on here right? I'm missing. Okay. Don't know how that got where it got, but it's not in the right, wasn't in the right spot. The first thing that when you talk about coaching is, you know, we had to establish the relationship. And, you know, as health officers begin their positions, it's really very challenging. Many of them may have been brought in to start up an organization, turn an organization around, realign it, or sustain success. And that those terms actually come from the book that Ramon mentioned, The First 90 Days in Government. And I would suggest if you haven't read it, even if you're a seasoned official, to read the book, The First 90 Days in Government. It really describes the four situations that a health officer may face in their new position and really helps you think through what you're doing. And anytime you're going through any type of change, I found it was really an excellent resource for myself to think about what are some of the things I'm trying to do here. So, you know, a new health officer often can assess the situation, you know, and then they have to think about prioritizing what they're doing. But the question most of them had is my assessment right? And they've also discovered very quickly that it's lonely at the top. I mean, we say that, but when you're in a health department that has 20 employees and you're the only one and your nearest peer is a long ways away, you know, you learn very quickly that advice isn't the next cubicle over. One of my fellows was a health officer for 5 counties. One county alone had 1,200 square miles. It was way up in the corner of Minnesota. Believe it or not, I live in Minnesota. I have never been to her county. I've been to the one in Iowa, and I've actually been to the one in Arizona and the one in Montana, but I have never been to that part of Minnesota. For her to attend our state meetings, she has to drive 5 hours one way by car, and flying is not really an option because it's very expensive. Regional meetings for her are 1.5 hours away, and the total, and, you know, so it's extremely difficult for her to have consultation and to have someone to talk to, because even if she wants to talk to him, you know, yeah, it's picking up the phone or it's sending an email, but it's building those relationships takes time. Another person had no staff and was in a startup. The county, her county population was 11,000. They'd not had a health officer before. So she was starting and defining her role, and they had 2 public health nurses that didn't report to her. It was one of my more unique challenges trying to figure out the role. Even as a seasoned health officer, I was kind of going, okay, what does this really mean? You know, the Survive and Thrive program really offered them access to an individual who had experience, myself or Chuck, and who could be a sounding board or trusted advisor. It was somebody who, I didn't have a vested interest in their counties. You know, I could listen. And it was really a combination of coaching and mentoring, and it was individualized. Coaching really is about the job, and mentoring is really about career development, and we kind of did both in this program. And as I referred to coaching in this presentation, I am talking about that melded thing. The fellows and I had telephone conference calls both individually and as a group about once a month. I also attended the 3 in-person workshops and went with my fellows during that time. And then the coaching really fell into 3 areas. Consultation in general, kind of prioritizing in their agencies about specific technical issues, and then personnel issues. Those were kind of the 3 areas. From the fellow's perspective, I heard from all of them that a new job is overwhelming at times. There's many challenges, many projects, issues, staff demanding your time. And that time was really, I think that came through really clear on one of the first 360s, was that they were all concerned about time management. You know, becoming an effective manager or administrator takes time, and many of us don't have a lot of time to improve effectiveness, kind of that model that Ramon was talking about in his presentation. So, you know, having someone give perspective was really important for them. My job as coach was not to provide the answers, but I probably asked more questions. Some of them, I think, sometimes wanted to say, she just keeps asking me questions. You know, she's not telling me what to do. But, you know, it was to help them try and find and work through the issue. It was to try and find their blind spot and help them see the whole picture. You know, what's going on here? So, from my perspective as a coach, I can truthfully state that the first year is absolutely daunting. I can still remember my first year. It was extremely challenging. I was instructed by a board to get this organization, you know, turned around, functioning well. In reality, it was probably more of a realignment. And if I'd had a coach, I probably could have avoided some of the mistakes I made that first year. Over my past 24 years, I've seen many new health officers come into various departments. I've seen each one of them be challenged by staff, community partnerships, or programs. And I've frequently shared my experience, technical skills, or offered support and encouragement. I mean, I remember talking to a neighbor saying, yeah, that's going to happen. You'll get through it. You know, this year, I think, was truly unique. It was truly challenging. We had the fiscal crisis, which created a whole different set of things, and we had H1N1, which is still continuing to challenge local public health. And when you're new, you don't know whether what your experience is normal or unique. I have to say, I truly feel this year was unique and challenging for everyone. And the coaches were able to share how difficult it was for everyone this year. For me personally, Survive and Thrive was an opportunity to do coaching in a formalized manner and to practice it. And as with anything, the more you practice it, the better you get at it. I found myself going back and coaching in my own office a different way just because of the program. Some of the issues that the fellows identified was, you know, being a member of a staff member of a local public health department doesn't prepare you for boards, budgets, staffing issues, program development. And if you came from the private sector, the public sector is different. It's much more public. I mean, you know, you go into the boardroom and the press is sitting right there. So even in the really small counties, and they probably get more press in the big counties because the local paper's looking for something to cover. So, you know, there's politics and public in ways that as a staff member you don't see. And as a supervisor you might not have been aware of. So there's a lot of training programs. You know, there's conferences, webinars, self-awareness and management books. But as one of my health officers says, you know, it takes time to translate, to take that information and to apply it to your health department. You know, you can attend those, but having that translation is really important, and you don't want to come back with a solution in search of a problem, which sometimes does occur. So in Survive and Thrive, the fellows developed an individual learning plan that was specific to their needs. And as a coach, I assisted in the development and revision of these learning plans. It was one of the more challenging areas as a coach, but also was one of the more rewarding when they got through it. And we identified tasks that would help them actually within their department develop things within their department and also with themselves personally. From the fellow's perspective, and like I said, I'm flipping back and forth, sorry, but three of the situations that health officers face, startup, turnaround, or realignment, there's several technical tasks that are needed. Job description, writing policies, contracting. And a new health officer may not have the self-confidence or experience in doing these tasks. Grant writing is often part of the job, and most health officers have limited experience in submitting grants. I was a filter for many of the fellows as they undertook these tasks. I had people say, do you have a copy of job descriptions? And off the ones that I have in my file, there's a wonderful website called ONET that gives you lots of words on jobs and things to put in those. So from the coach's perspective, you know, I have a file drawer of templates, resources, policies I've collected over the years. I always figure it's easier to work from a draft or a sample than to create from scratch. And I've always called this liberating the work of others. You know, some people call it stealing. I just call it liberating it and making it, using it. And as a coach, I'd encourage them to seek out samples from others also. If I didn't have the resource, I was also often able to direct them towards someone who might have the information they were seeking. One question I got was about grant writing. You know, how do I go about learning to write a grant? You know, and I could have suggested they go to a class on grant writing, but I suggested that she might try observing or being a grant reviewer in her community. I knew she had a local foundation, and I suggested that, you know, they'd be reviewing grants, and they're always looking for reviewers, and that she might try doing it that way, because having reviewed grants, the one time, once you've reviewed a grant, you know what not to do in a grant, because it stands out in your head. So another fellow asked for a template for prioritizing department programs. I had a small resource book that had a tool in it that could be used for that, and I suggested that she use that, and turned out she had the book on her desk, she just didn't know that the tool was in there to use it and had never thought about it. So, and finally, like I said, employee issues. Every health officer will tell you that the job would be easy if it wasn't for the personnel issues. And I absolutely love this quote. Peter Ramstad of Personal Decisions International said, when a doctor makes a mistake, the patient dies and the doctor doesn't have to worry about it anymore. When a lawyer makes a mistake, the client goes to the jail and the lawyer doesn't have to worry about it anymore. When a hiring manager makes a mistake, he says good morning to it every morning. You know, as a new health officer, you inherit all the good and bad hiring mistakes of your predecessor. So, you know, and there's generally personnel policies, but seldom is there a handbook on coaching or mentoring or how to deal with performance issues that have been tolerated in the past. And ignoring personnel issues is never the solution. They just don't go away. They exacerbate. So, you know, this was an area that we spent a fair amount of time on, and actually the fellows themselves served as peers and gave each other suggestions in this area, but all four of them had personnel issues during the year, and we did spend a fair amount of time on conference calls talking about some of those issues. Two of my fellows chose to work on their personnel issues in their personal development plan. With one, the issue was an underperforming staff member, and we talked about reasons for the underperformance. Interestingly enough, no job description existed for the employee, and her solution was to actually do an expectations conversation with the employee, have the employee work on her job description, one of those decision-making issues that, you know, whose decision is it? Obviously, she still had the final say, but and then to have regular meetings with the employee. She shared that the employee continues to be a challenge, and but the fellow is able to identify where the roadblocks are, and she continues to work on the issue. She stated that she would have been previously very frustrated and not analyzed the situation, but now she knows where the issues lie and can work on them. The coaching and mentoring that she received, she said she used as a model in her own department. Another fellow had a significant morale and communication issue in her department. All the fellows had completed the Emergimatics profile. She found someone to do a similar profile in for all her staff, and then they, as a staff, they discussed how it affected the workflow. She reported that communication improved significantly because she had used a similar tool to one that she had experienced at Survive and Thrive and wouldn't have known about that. So, the fellows also completed two items, and Sue Ann is going to talk about the 360 evaluation, but they were extremely useful to me as a coach. First was the Emergenetics profile. I knew the preferred thinking and behavior styles of each of my coaches. It helped me know where their blind spots might be. It also gave us a common language, and we understood how each of us approached issues. Secondly, they completed the 360 evaluation that Sue Ann will speak about, and I gave individual feedback to each fellow. We compared the self-assessment with the assessment that was done by others, and where there were discrepancies or significant differences, we discussed, and then we revised the learning contract on that. When I get back from APHA, I will be contacting my four fellows, and they have completed one now at the end of it, and we'll be discussing those and talking about lifelong learning. So, some general learnings from the coaching experience. You need to make time for it. I didn't have a set time for each of the coaching fellow for coaching. If I do this again, I will definitely set a specific time that we will connect. So anytime you're doing any coaching or mentoring, I would suggest that as a given. I did have agendas for the meetings, and I would continue that. And it was real apparent, remember that your job isn't to solve the problem, to get them to think about it. The decision they make was theirs. I always assumed they knew their situation better than me because they were in such different spots. Obviously, I was not going to be able to go observe all of them, which was a limitation at times. And you know, I learned coaching can be done long distance and it doesn't need to be in person. And finally, I want to say that Survive and Thrive was a great experience. And if you have a chance to have a coach or to be a coach, take it. You will learn as much as you give. And as I said before, when you practice something, you get better at it. So now I'm going to turn the podium over to Sue Ann.